Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, back by popular demand, it is our good friend, Super Bowl MVP, Julian Edelman. Future Hall of Famer. We're going to break down. He's in studio. We're going to break down Thursday Night Football. He watched it with us. We also have our week 11 preview, Firefest of the Week, Fantasy Jakes, great Friday show getting everyone ready to go for the weekend, great football weekend coming up, and guess what? If you have a football novice in your life, we have something for you. Tostitos has created Romo In Your Ear, a Bluetooth earpiece that helps a football novice in your life get in on the game. Who's a football novice? That one friend who has nothing to say during the game, always loses in fantasy, has just horrible takes time and time again. And during a game this season, one football novice will actually get to listen and repeat smart football-y stuff directly from Tony Romo in real time. And I bet you're wondering, is the device a tiny replica of Tony Romo's head? Yes, it is a teeny tiny Tony Romo. It's literally going to be in your friend's ear. So Tostitos wants to help find the perfect football novice to win the only earpiece. So if you know someone who could use Romo in their ear, have them go to Tostitos.com/Romo and enter for a chance to win. As the official chip and dip of the NFL, Tostitos is helping one football novice get in the game. Go to Tostitos.com/Romo and enter for a chance to win. Tostitos.com/Romo. Also, just eat Tostitos all weekend long because it's a football weekend and it's the greatest chip ever created and the greatest dip ever created. Tostitos. Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Tostitos. Go to Tostitos.com/Romo right now. Enter for a chance to win Romo in your ear. Today is Friday, November 19th, and we just watched the largest two-score blowout I've ever seen in my life.
Technically a two-score blowout, but I feel like 16 to nothing. There are two-score blowouts, and then there are two-score blowouts. 16,
it
might as well be 40 to nothing right now.
Yes, and Matt Ryan has the saddest face in the world. Matt Ryan is – poor Matt Ryan. I'm going to say that because it's not his fault that his line couldn't block. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't pass the ball. The Patriots – all right, let's start with this, Jules. So Jules is here. We're going to do this. This was actually much acclaimed. I told him this, and I think the squirrel in Julian Edelman, the undrafted guy who's always grinding, was like, people really like that? And I was like, yes, people loved it. So
he was actually drafted, though.
He's drafted,
but you're
right.
The most undrafted.
You're undrafted.
You're a walk-on.
You're undrafted.
Seventh round.
That's undrafted. We both know that.
Everyone
loved it when we did it a month ago. We watched Thursday Night Football with Jules. We had him on to start the show. We're doing that again. So let's start there, Jules. Matt Ryan, how sad do you feel for him?
It's tough. He definitely looks like someone stole his puppy on the sidelines.
He doesn't have a dog anymore. He's dogless.
He's dogless.
We were talking during the game. If you were to have, we got the Romo in your ear. If there was Jules in your ear, it would just be a play, and then Julian would be like, that guy's a dog. That guy's got dogs.
Yeah, you got to have some dog in you in this. This game's kind of evolving, and you know, that old school mentality, those guys had a lot more dog, you know, and you still have it out there, but when there's a feisty player, like a big play, a nice hit, a great block, a fullback play, a block engagement, that's a guy that has some dog in him.
Jules said, we asked him when we were sitting down what he thought about Mac Jones. He said he loves him, but he also would like to see him maybe sprain his ankle or something, face some adversity, see how he does with that.
I hope he doesn't do that.
No, we hope he doesn't sprain his ankle. But you're like, in true Julian Edelman fashion, like, I want to see him banged up a little so that see what he can overcome.
Well, you want to see the toughness of a guy. We're seeing how, you know, he can take in the offense and he can be an efficient quarterback. But there's going to be times where, you know, it's not always sunny. And they're going on a four-game winning streak, looking to be five here. You need to see. I want to see him that last bit to see if he's your guy, which he's their guy. But I want to see something go wrong, and I want to see the man he is in an adverse situation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when you see your best leaders. That's when, you know, the Tom Brady's. I mean, I only know him, but like
Jimmy Garoppolo,
Jimmy, Tom Brady's. You know. When he goes out in any situation, when we were down certain amount of points, like you saw like a laser focus in his eye, and I want to see it. I mean, everything looks great right now. He's looking like a really good quarterback. He's taking in the offense. He plays on time.
Oh, mm-hmm. You like that? Isn't that a football guy thing to say?
He does. Everything's though, it on is. Time. He what, does play on time.
Now I said that on Monday's show. I actually don't even know really what it means, so explain to me what playing on time is.
Playing on time is like getting through your reads at the correct time, seeing if you have a hitch out there, it's cover two, you see the trap corner, your eyes click automatically from here to your cover two side, you step up in the pocket, and you deliver a catchable football. Like, those little things that guys do in the pocket and when they're clicking from in through their progression, that's when you start to see if a guy plays on time. You know, when a guy doesn't have his feet set and yeah. he drops back and he looks over there and then he looks late over there and he throws a ball at the guy's feet, that's because he's not playing on time. He spent too much time on the front side when he should have probably went to the back side. That's what playing on time means. His eyes are always in the right area. He's delivering the ball when he should deliver the ball in the cover two window, or you know, when they're high-lowing a mic and he's hitting it right after the mic linebacker on the rat. Like, those are playing on time kind of yeah. moments.
And Mac Jones confirmed plays on time.
He's playing on time right now.
I've noticed that his dropback speed is elite. He's not a fast guy, but when he gets the ball in his hands, he takes that like three-step drop. He actually looks fast when his legs are crossing over each other.
Yeah. I actually heard through the grapevine that I think he's a 20-mile-an-hour guy.
What?
Wow. I heard he's hit 20 once.
Like, how fast, like, a is legit 20? 20 miles an hour?
Billy's yeah, well, everything's
in a car?
No, everything's GPS.
Well, not
like when they do 20s careful. And stuff, they do conditioning. Like, they're always monitoring everything. I heard he's a 20 guy.
I believe he's 20 when he does a three-step drop or a five-step drop. He's like deceptively fast getting back there.
That'd be like a 12.
12?
He's a 12.
And 12 mile an hour going backwards would be pretty good.
But sometimes it's more important to go from 20 to 0 than it is from 0 to 20.
True.
Don't you agree?
Exactly. The 5-10-5.
Yeah.
Yep.
5-10-5 guy.
What did you think, by the way? There was much discussion between Billy and Hank on Mac Jones maybe giving a little bit of a wrestling move against the Panthers after an interception.
I thought that was within the game. He didn't know who had the ball. I mean, he was holding on for dear life. If you're a linebacker, who was it?
I can't remember. Hank is nodding furiously right now.
I mean, if you're a linebacker and you're getting, you know, tossed up like that by, you know, a guy holding on for dear life, hey, you shouldn't. There's an old saying: only bad players get held. Like, the good guys.
Is that true?
Whoa, I like that saying.
Bad players get held because if you're a dog. Uh-huh. You get that hold right off of you, you go.
Well, I've actually noticed.
And I'm not saying, I don't know who the guy is, but I'm just saying, like, pull your leg up. Let's go. He didn't know.
With Matthew Judon, when he's out there and he's got the red sleeves on, I think it's easier for a ref to see if he's getting held.
Very true.
Well,
I mean,
yeah. Tell us. So you told us a story that all the details with Belichick.
Belichick would always try to get me to change the color of my glove for blocking in the run game, because if we were playing a team that had white and the referee, he said, you know, the ref could see your goddamn glove on the back side of him. He's going to call holding every time. Like, so he would literally make like young players like, hey, you're wearing white today because we're playing against
and
a white team.
You wouldn't change?
No, I can't change. My mom knew me by the red gloves.
Oh, wow.
That's where I started.
So do you think he called more like blocking situations for you against the Chiefs?
No.
He's like, all right, we can actually use Jules in the blocking game here.
No. But I mean, it's crazy because I mean, he'd show an example, and it would usually be right of a guy that didn't look like a real big hold, a ticky tacky call, maybe, and the guy had like a colorful glove on a white jersey.
Yeah, God damn it. Those are like some of the details that are just hilarious, and also why Belichick is Belichick, to be like, yeah, the gloves are actually going to probably cost us at
what
some
point.
What
about wearing white shoes if you're a receiver and you make a catch near the sidelines and you can't tell if you're out of bounds or not because your shoes are white?
I just wore white cleats because it made me look faster.
It does. It always.
Well, it's more that black shoes make you look really slow.
Yes. Yeah. Johnny Unitas.
That's when you always know a guy's a burner. If you see a guy wearing black cleats and he still looks fast.
Yeah, that's
like, that's
extra
when
fast.
That's when those guys are like, they know they're fast, they wear black cleats. That's like a flex.
My other big takeaway from this game, besides Matt Ryan just looking like an old dog, like a dog that's getting gray all over his face.
Oh, Josh Rosen.
Yeah, Josh Rosen, here comes a pick. Nope, just threw it 60 yards
Hold
out of
on.
Bounds.
John, don't say that.
I mean, it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. But my other big takeaway was Arthur Smith needs to grow a beard back.
12 touchdowns and 20 INTs
not great,
through his career.
Not great. But Arthur Smith, the exposed cheeks, and I figured out tonight, I don't think it's necessarily his chin that looks bad. It's his neck sometimes when he doesn't have the beard going on it.
Yeah, he definitely looks like the son and king of the hill.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Hill. He's Bobby Hill as a head coach.
Little Bobby Hill. But hey, you know, coaches, they do that. It's so.
Yeah, I told you. There's a pick.
Pick six.
Josh Rosen.
No.
I called it. Pick six.
And
Kyle
pick
Van Noy.
Oh.
That shouldn't count as a pick. That should count as a half interception, like a half a sack, if it's against Josh Rosen.
I just tweeted Josh Rosen comeback season right before he threw that pick.
I told you.
An old Texas A&M game, huh, Big Cat? Is he still there?
Whoops.
I'm basically Tony Romo right now. No. Oh, another big takeaway, Steve Belichick's massive pink eye just disappeared over the course of the last, like, 24 hours.
He had pink eye?
Oh, it was bad. He had, like, a giant herp on his eyelid. When he was doing his latest Zoom call. Billy saw it, right?
It was a sty.
It was a sty.
I've actually had a sty.
That's
Those
bad.
Things are terrible.
People judge
and
you.
And the only reason I got it, because Amendola got it a couple times. He used to get these styes, and I would make fun of him so bad.
Then he ate his ass.
I don't know. I thought he, like, maybe someone fart in his face or something. Isn't that how you get them? But then, like, one day I came to work, and I had a sty, and he just wouldn't let me.
Yeah, you asked for it.
The other story you told us, when we were watching, there was a play close to the goal line, and you said that Belichick used to always teach you guys never reach out for the goal line.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, unless it was a fourth down play or a 2-point conversion that you absolutely needed, because it's a risky play. I mean, you see time and time again throughout the years, guys that go to try to do it and they slip the ball out, you get a touchback, or a guy comes in, hits it, the ball's more vulnerable. And as Bill would say, when you're carrying the ball, you're carrying the fate of the team, the upper division, the fan base, the region of New England
franchise.
In your hands.
Yeah,
no pressure.
He would break down the whole thing.
Yeah, no pressure.
I mean, you can tell players that, like, don't reach the ball at the goal line, but when you add in the fact that, like, hey, that's millions of people in your hand that you're about to disappoint, that's when it might sink in for you. Did you ever fuck up and do something?
I did it a couple times. I did it once against the Bills. If it works, they don't care. If it goes the other way, you know. But I was at a point, you know, I was probably like 7 years in, 8 years in. Like, I would never have tried that within. And I didn't have any touchdowns at the time in the year. Mm-hmm. So I was like fiending for a touchdown.
Can you get into the doghouse during a game? Like, has he ever benched you during a game? Or is it always after watching the film, getting the all 22?
If you fumble and you're a younger player, you know, they'll put you in the doghouse, you know. But they're pretty good at, you know, like, I coaches are pretty good at, like, letting you guys play and then working up after the game and learning from the tape and then working from there and trying to improve. But I remember, like a drop, if you drop a ball, not necessarily the coach, maybe the quarterback puts you in the doghouse, or he doesn't look your way.
Another pick. Rosen.
This is awesome.
Okay, maybe it's
this
not
is
Josh
great.
Rosen.
Who else could it be? Now you're just delusional, Big Cat.
No, I mean, I know he's so bad. He's so bad. Like I said,
No, it's not him.
Who is that? That was a Josh Rosen. They put that guy in there to make us think. Oh, it's Felipe Franks. Felipe Franks is the worst quarterback of all time. I remember betting against Felipe Franks in college was one of my favorite pastimes.
Because he's got a great name, so people think that he should be good.
Oh, yeah. You got the alliteration, everything.
Jules, so how's TV life going for you? Now you're a big-time entertainment mogul. Working with Ray Lewis. You started telling a story about Ray Lewis, and I plugged my ears because I was like, I don't want to hear this. I want to talk to you about it on the air because it sounded like a good one about how, I guess, one time, you know, you see him in the hallways. Everybody gives him respect.
Always.
Probably deservedly so. But at one point, he actually, like, injured your ass.
Yeah. I mean, he's knocked me out of a game a couple times. My rookie year in 2009, we were playing in the divisional round where we got blown out by Baltimore. We're Ray Rice went for like 76 out the gate in opening drive. And I caught a ball and Ray hit me and kneed me in my butt.
Mm-hmm.
And he hit me so hard. I had like internal bleed. I had a crazy hematoma where I instantly had to get an IV. They had to like check my vital systems. I couldn't sit down for like literally 3 weeks. I had full J-Lo butt on my right cheek, literally like six times the size. I had to go fly with like a donut because it was the last game of the year. I wanted to go home. I couldn't fly for like a week.
Did they have to drain your ass?
No, it's too close to like a certain artery. I don't know. I think it was close to an artery or something.
Damn. But so you were thick.
I was thick. Super, two C's.
You were all three up. C's.
Two C's.
Two C's.
It was nuts. Gnarly.
Rate these wins. Thursday night football, Sunday night football, Monday night football.
That's tough because when you get a Thursday night game, it's tough to play in those games after playing on a Sunday. You have a short week. You could be banged up later in the year. So it's always good to get that Thursday night win. I always liked Monday night football. And then later in my career, it became Sunday night football was like the Monday night football. But I would probably go with the Thursday night win because
then you get a mini bye.
You get a baby bye afterwards.
Baby bye. I like that.
And then you also have, you know, it was a short week. You don't get actual practice on the field. It's all walkthroughs. It's mental days. So then you get to, like, show the coaches, hey, guys, we got to win without doing actual, you know, on-field work.
So they won't make us do work mm-hmm. next week.
So maybe, hey, you give us a walkthrough on next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Would Thursday night games?
And sometimes they would. If they saw it went well, if you had a good Thursday night game and you were kind of banged up, They would give us a Wednesday like light walkthrough or like a heavy walkthrough where they're kind of like jog throughs.
Yep. Would Thursday night football, from our perspective, and this might be totally wrong, is it always feels like Thursday night football, especially late in the season, it's like just do whatever you have to do to win. No style points. No, like, you know, if the game plan calls for just grinding it out, you grind it out. It's just it's one of those situations. Is that fair?
I would say that's fair. I mean, you're it's a completely different week than your team's used to, especially, you know, if you have a young team or a new head coach or any kind of new facet to your organization. Like, that's tough when you don't get to have that actual muscle memory, everyone knows the schedule by this time of the year. You know, you're on this body clock, and then you have something completely different.
Right.
I mean, football players are creatures of habit, and anytime you can go get a win on a Thursday, it doesn't matter how it is, you know, it's still nice to get it done.
Well, yeah. So last time you were on the show, you talked about running into Bill and him telling you, like, if you got to motherfuck us, then motherfuck us.
Yeah.
Because you're an analyst now. You're a pro.
Fool, yeah.
So I want to open up the floor. I know it was a good performance tonight, but including all the games, like the last time that we talked to you.
You kind of did right after that.
Yeah. I did.
What did he say?
It was like the week after, I think, he came on, because it was when they were still kind of going through it.
Yeah, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to motherfuck the Patriots.
Well, I can't right now. They're playing pretty solid complementary football. I don't like the turnover. I don't like a couple of the penalties. But I guarantee that's what they're going to hear. And like I said, it's a Thursday night game. Rookie quarterback. I mean, he hit the seam when, you know, the corners were carrying, not slooping. They may have had something different in a scouting report, and Dean Pease changed it up because Dean Pease played against us, and he knows that we're a tendency game plan team. So, you know, there's a whole lot of factors. I got to watch the all 22.
Oh, there we go. Film guy. I love that. Film guy through and through. Do you think the Patriots are they like Hank's talking soupy right now? Is that crazy?
It's early. It's early. I mean,
that's very Belichickian of you. Yeah,
it is. Well, it's the truth. There's so many variables that can happen, and these next like 4 weeks, this is cream season. This is like when the cream rises. The good teams get really good. You gotta hope for the best in the injury department, because that'll derail you. You know, you go out and lose someone. You know, lineman or this or that. You know, it always all has to come together. They're starting to perform and get better each week. You can tell just through their confidence level how they're playing on offense, defense, and in special teams. But it's still early.
Just nodding his head. Did you see, by the way, that clip of Mac Jones doing an interview in August versus doing an interview last week?
I haven't.
And like, oh, Belichick has completely taken over his brain. Like the one in August, he's laughing, he's having fun. And then the one last week, it's like the monotone Patriot way.
I think he's probably, you know, he's seen how big this is. You know, you don't want to go out there and he, you know, he's probably here and you don't want to give bulletin board material. Of course, everything that Bill preaches. But like now he's starting to feel like, hey, he's becoming the face of that organization. So like, let's just worry about what we have to worry about, because that's what they preach all day long. Like they do so much to like basically manipulate your mind into like, we have to go work, improve, have to go work, improve. So much information that you don't even get to read the press clippings or the Twitter or this, that. Like, there's a lot of, like, cutting down, pruning of the trees over there. And when you're flying high with the Patriots, you know, coach makes it harder.
Sounds like the best possible version of North Korea. Like, if they got results.
They won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
If North Korea had won 6 Super Bowls in the last 20 years.
If Kim Jong-un was walking around with rings.
Mm-hmm. Everything would be looked at differently.
Yeah. History smiles upon winners.
Yes.
And also, like, it goes back to what you're saying about the football. Like, when you're giving a press conference, your words carry the weight of the entire organization, everybody in ticket sales, the vendors, everyone that lives in the state of Massachusetts is counting on you to not fumble the ball.
Rhode Island,
line.
Vermont.
Yeah, it's
New Hampshire.
All New England.
Yeah, so
half of Connecticut.
Yeah. So what is New England? Would you say that like really far northeastern New York, is that New England?
I don't think so, no. That's Buffalo, isn't
it? You don't
it?
Play for them?
I mean if they support, they support. But I don't play anymore. I'm an analyst.
That's true.
Yeah, so speaking of analysts, let's talk about the league overall, because you do talk about the whole league. You watch the film on the whole league.
Inside the NFL streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's one of my favorite shows. It's been one of my favorite shows for a very long time. Adding Jules just made it even better. That's not because you're a friend, but that's a fact. So PFT and I had a discussion last week about soft teams. I'm not going to have you call anyone soft, so I'll flip it the other way. In your estimation, who are the top three toughest teams in terms of, you know, physicality, hitting, the way that they play offense and defense? Who are the three teams that you're like, those teams are tough and they play man-on-man football?
Right off the top of my head, Tennessee.
You can't say the Patriots.
Well, I mean, they're what is
they are in there, yeah.
What defines a tough football team?
A hard
this is
team.
What no no, this is what defines a tough football
okay.
team. A physically tough football team, from what I was taught from some guy named Bill. A tough football team can run the ball, can stop the run, and can cover kicks. What teams do that the best? Baltimore, Patriots, Tennessee. Like those are three teams that I think of hard, tough football teams. I'm not saying there's not other teams that are, but right off the top of my head, I'm saying, I mean, look at it. Patriots have two running backs. They probably just ran for, you know, 160. Lamar and that whole gang over there with Baltimore, they're running the ball. Everyone runs the ball over there. They control the game. They stop their defense comes up with big plays and big situations. Tennessee's doing the same thing, even when they don't have King Henry. So that's what defines a tough football team to me. That's what I was always taught. Someone who could run the ball, someone that could stop the run, and someone that can cover kicks.
That part is interesting to me. So cover kicks is part of being a tough football team?
That's field position.
And that's tough.
What about the Cowboys?
Ooh. I mean, I wouldn't put them in above those guys.
Those aren't, that's not tough. What about the Bucks? Because we were talking, part of the discussion was when the Bucks play defense, the style of defense they play when they have everyone out there, they seem like a tough football team. Where, from my perspective, a tough football team is when you're watching and a guy will, like, get stopped at the line of scrimmage and there'll be five defenders tackle him at once. Like, where everyone swarms to the ball on every play.
Yeah, I think they're a tough football team. That defense is fast. They're sideline to sideline guys, but they also can plug the middle and they can run the ball with Leonard Fournette, Jones in the backfield. Like, that's when they play their best football. That's when they're going out and winning games, setting up the play actions, putting themselves in manageable third down so they can use all their weapons. And that is a tough football team. The Colts, I think the Colts with Taylor, their defense is playing real tough right now. That's a tough football team. You know, if Carson just settles down. I mean,
Carson's having a weird season because he's actually playing well. But the problem is his few interceptions. He only thrown a couple.
Doy plays.
Doy's, yep. And they stick out in your brain.
Bad.
You're like, what's going on here?
Bad.
Yeah.
Bad. You know what? The Steelers want to be tough. Their defense is tough, and they have a tough coach. I like Tomlin. He's a tough guy, but they're not utilizing that run. They're not built for it yet.
Yeah.
What about the other side of the coin? I won't make you say it, but I'll say it. The Rams are soft. The Rams are a soft football team right now. And part of it, I think, has to do with bringing a bunch of guys in. That's always got to be hard, right, when you add guys midseason?
I mean, they're getting a bad rap right now just because – you know, they've been lighting it up in the beginning part of the season, and they're on a little skid.
Primetime skid, too, doesn't help.
Yeah, you know, but...
It's actually a compliment when I call the Rams soft, in a way, because they have expectations. Like, they should be a good team.
Yes.
They've got all the talent, and they've got some very tough players, but for whatever reason, they're striking me as the S-word.
By definition, what's tough?
Covering kicks... Run the football, which they're not doing, right?
Stopping the run.
And then stopping the run.
What do you do to a team that has a lot of guys that like to rush up the field? You run the football.
You run the football.
So Von Miller, getting that addition on there, yeah, he can beat a guy one-on-one, but you also know where he's going to be.
I mean, it. We'll see. I haven't got to dig into that tape quite yet.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, those are the teams where you usually run towards those types of guys because, yeah, on third and long, third down, when they know it's a pass play, those guys pin their ears back and they come after the quarterback and they do a damn good job at it.
Yep.
But, I mean, if they do that, they have that same intensity. You throw a screen, you run the ball towards them. Do they want to run? Do they want to two-gap and shed a guy, you know, when they're trying to get up the field? I mean, that's what you usually do against those kind of tight end, those DNs.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the weekend before when the Patriots played against Garrett. What'd they do? They slowed him down by running at him. They slowed him down by throwing screens at him. And that's tough football.
What do you think's wrong with the Chiefs? Or is nothing wrong with the Chiefs?
I think they're getting better. I think the Chiefs are getting better. They're playing smarter football. I think... Over years of having success, you put a standard out. And whenever there's any kind of blips or there's any bumps in those roads, everyone wants to just jump ship and say, oh, this team, oh, what's going on? It's just because they've done so well in the last couple years. And we all know, you know, like they have this backyard style football where they go out, Patrick Mahomes runs around, he finds his guy and makes a miraculous play. Which are like, oh my God, how'd he make that play? And those plays haven't been going their way this year as much as they want.
Yeah.
So like the last couple weeks, what have they been doing? They've been taking care of the football. Their defense has been very opportunistic and playing situationally very well on a third down. But they're also they're doing better on first and second down, which that creates that third and short. Where instead of playing that prevent defense that everyone's playing on them when you're in third and 10 and you're putting two guys on Kelsey, you're putting a safety over Hill and for other whatever reasons, the other guys aren't doing what they're doing or Patrick may not trust them right now or something like that. Mm-hmm. But when you have it in third and manageable third and short, then they got to play the sticks. And then you can start hitting those deep patterns and they're finding their way. They're creating these screens. They're doing a bunch of reverses, try to get better situational play in the first and second down, which we saw these last couple weeks. So it'll be huge for them when they get Allaire back this week, and hopefully they use him.
Yeah, Allaire.
Jake?
It's kind of like a Claire.
Allaire?
I think it's
Allaire.
One of Jake's all-time Clyde biggest
Edwards
fuck-ups.
Allaire.
F-U-C-K ups.
What did I say, Allaire?
No, he said Allaire.
But
last
it was before
year.
I checked. Yeah, if I was calling his game, I would have prepped properly.
Yeah, that's true.
Correct.
That's true.
It's Allaire.
Allaire.
Yeah. Allaire.
I think it's H-E-L-A-I-R-E.
Yeah.
But it's French. It's like Cajun, yeah. Almost.
Yes.
What about another team I think is pretty hard? The Green Bay Packers.
They are a hard team. I mean, they just lost Jones, though. That's going to hurt.
And Bortles, yeah.
Was Bortles there?
Yeah, he was there.
The boat?
Yeah, they brought him in because he had the Seahawks playbook, and then they cut him loose like yesterday's trash. But, yeah, they're losing
their
running back.
Their defense is playing lights out right now. They're playing tough football, and I would define them as a tough team.
Yeah, and the backup running back might be harder than their starting running back.
What's his name again?
AJ Dillon.
He had a good game last week.
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah, big legs.
Big boy.
All right, so let's finish with this. Well, two things. One is, have you changed your Super Bowl prediction?
I said Bills.
I'm giving you a chance to change your Super
Bowl. And Green Bay.
Okay. Have you changed it?
Not yet. I mean,
I like it.
I'm going to ride with the Bills. I mean, I got to start seeing some things. I got to start seeing. The offense needs to start getting it going. Come on, Ski Ball. That's Dayball, the OC over there.
Ski Ball?
Yeah, he's bald, so we used to call him Ski Ball.
Did he ever get you with an Imagine Dragons or a D's Nuts joke?
Always.
Was it? Do you remember any of his good ones?
No, but he would literally. It was dad jokey when he would do it though.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he'd try to get you and like ski. I mean, I'm not. You've already said it every day.
Yes. I've heard them all.
Yes.
One last question about the Patriots. Would you say that maybe a knock against them right now is they don't have any like real weapons on offense?
I think they do have weapons. I think they have a lot of weapons. The addition of Henry has been really good. He seems to become like a red area target for Mac. Aguilar, he had a big catch last week, the touchdown on the seam, or was that not?
He had a touchdown tonight.
On the zone, you're seeing his speed. Jacoby, he's doing very well on third down. I mean, he's a really good football player, good route runner. Aguilar, Nelson, I mean, They got some weapons.
I like when you say red area. I'm gonna start doing that now.
That's what they call it.
Yeah, that's how you know that a guy's played football is like when a small change in dialogue, because you don't say red zone. I've never heard you say red zone.
Yeah, that's what we used to call it. Red area.
The red area.
Red area offense.
It sounds a lot cooler that way.
It's like I'm pretty sure Bob Diacchio, who the civil conflict is this weekend, I think he tried to start calling it the blue zone, and it was like 22.
Yeah, it's a 22-yard line in. Yeah. That's really where that's judge a team's offense.
That's when you're really changing things.
So technically from the 35 to the 20, they call that the fringe.
Oh.
Okay. What about from 35 to 35, midfield?
You're in other people's territory.
The middle eights? No, middle eight? You'll
see a lot of teams when they hit that fringe, and some teams even count it to like the 40. You'll see the red area, the fringe shot. First down.
That's like the classic Bill Cowher, which I miss. Every time they would get the ball over the 50-yard line, it'd be a trick play.
Fringe shot.
Yeah,
gadget
it's
play.
Like, boom, yeah. Antoine Randuel, you're up. last thing, have you gone out with Billy yet? Because I know last time you were here, you guys were going to plan on going out together.
I haven't. I was in L.A. for 2 weeks.
So what the fuck?
I got to bring my guy out, get him out of Hoboken.
Do you think that Billy like could hang with you?
Yeah, dude.
Like going to a club. You think Billy could hang?
I don't go to clubs. I go to
But so the club, though. Not the club, but the club.
Oh, in the club.
Well, you don't go to clubs, but you go to clubs.
No, I go to like restaurants.
Oh, okay.
Would Billy be a good restaurant guy?
No.
You'd have to order for him.
He would want to order extra to bring it home with him.
We'll get you doggy bag, buddy.
Yeah. Let's go. Always. Oh, last question. There's a guy on Twitter who is called PMT Commenter.
I think I follow
Commentator
him.
PMT.
Uh-huh.
And he said that great Jules, name. You DM'd with him for an entire season thinking it was PFT.
100%
Oh, no.
True.
What was he saying?
I don't even remember. I was like, yeah, that was funny about this one take.
All right, so he says...
fully.
Yeah.
Full
yeah.
True.
I don't. You said, I don't know how you doing, Bubs.
I was catfished.
And he responded, football's back. Best time of year. Stay safe. Best of luck.
I would say that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you would say that.
Commentator PMT?
Yeah, commentator PMT.
Not a big reader. Not a big book guy.
No, respect.
For the entire season, Jules DM'd with him.
I kept on thinking, like, why is this guy not verified?
Yeah, right. He said,
yeah, I know. It's fucked up. They made me get a check.
Right after the Super Bowl against the Rams, he started a dialogue with you, and you thought it was PMT.
Full.
That's amazing. Yeah, shout out that guy. That's a legendary move by that guy.
I give that guy permission to DM anybody.
I'm not going to be a narc. He actually said he's not going to be a narc.
Yeah.
So he shared one DM, but it seemed like he played it respectable. Like, okay. He wasn't trying.
Which is Avatar? Is it Part of My Take or is it mine?
It's you with Nick Cage over your face.
Okay.
And then me behind it.
Okay.
Arthur Smith. It might be Arthur Smith. But either way, he actually, like, that guy, he catfished you, but he was cool about it. Like, he wasn't an asshole about it. So shout out him.
He's cool.
He was just like a fan of yours.
Look at Vanoy.
He's just doing the post game.
Well, because he's high stepping after that pick from Josh Rosen.
That
post
game's got to feel pretty sick when you're like, oh, I'm gonna come sit here in all my my gear and just be like, I won this game. This is awesome.
It depends on which crew you're with.
Yeah. Joe Thomas meme stealer.
Mm. I would just want to go
Joe Thomas
home.
Had a thing out for us. I did an interview with him once, and I'm like, dude.
I like Joe Thomas Badger for life, but yeah, he stole a meme from me.
What was what did he do to ruffle your feathers?
He just kept on saying, like, the Patriots. Like, you guys, like, I don't know. He's probably a nice guy.
You sound like Hank right now. Yeah, he said no. He said the Patriots.
I mean, it's coming from inside the organization like that.
That's Belichick.
I just felt
right there.
Like
everything's a slight.
He looked down on us. Like, I don't know.
It's not a conspiracy theory. Like, it's not like it's some like random fan sitting on the couch. You know,
like, you guys don't have fun, or I don't know. Like,
yeah, the Browns had a lot of fun.
Joe's a really good guy.
He is. He is. He knows a lot of. He's a great analyst.
He also is fucking ripped now. Like, yeah, crazy ripped.
He's like a he's pretty.
He's a
his abs
builder.
Are better than yours.
Yeah. I think you're getting a little soft.
You
by
are.
The way.
Hank's going to get abs. By the way, Hank's going to show you up.
Here's all I'm going to say is I noticed that when Frank's birthday came up. Oh, look, you had were there some jewels?
We had some Edels, dogs.
some fans in the stands with the Edelman jersey. When Frank's birthday came up, Frank is Julian Edelman's dad. You did a throwback post. Of your abs, not a current date.
I wasn't
post.
With my dad.
Okay, but I'm just saying, you're now like your Raya account has like an old picture of you, like with a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're catfishing.
It's like, you haven't played
now.
In the league in a year, dude.
Full out. Full has
you're still
been.
Fucking holding
fucking
on to the glory
right
days.
Now.
If you do get in the Hall of Fame, you should make sure that your bust it goes down to the waist and you have a six pack. And then when they put the shirt on you, you're not wearing any shirt or the jacket. You're not wearing a shirt underneath.
That would be tight.
That'd be tight.
Let us, if you go to the Hall of Fame, we're not going to get crazy. What? We're not going to get crazy. I wasn't going to say we're going to introduce you, but
I was.
The party before, you know, the night before that you throw, let us make a toast.
I mean, 22 for
let
26.
Us make a toast.
That's still
please,
pretty good.
Let us make a toast.
Pretty good.
Is that
I mean,
fair?
Technically 23. You got a pick, so he threw it to someone.
That's fair. Let us make a toast. All right. Well, Jules, this has been awesome.
Always.
You got to do it one more time before Christmas. So in a month,
Hanukkah. Yeah, come on.
Well, Hanukkah's coming up before Christmas.
28th.
Yeah. Mazel. So we got to go. We got to do it though before the Christmas break. We'll have you come back for a Thursday night game. People really do love this. I love it. So thank you.
I did too, guys. You guys are always fun to hang out with.
Hank, any last words?
Oh, Soupy. See you soon in LA. Hank, well, I guess I'll see you here in a week, in a month.
A month, yeah.
If you guys come out to LA, let me know. I'm out there.
Well, we will be there for the Super Bowl.
Me, you, Billy Soho House?
Yeah.
Downtown?
Video. Yes, video. That's a video series.
You can't do video in there, dude.
Yeah. But come on. Put some fucking
Big
GoPros
cat.
On him. We'll put a GoPro on Billy.
What's the deal with LA? Are you allowed to drive a car in LA?
Yeah.
You are?
Why?
Still?
No, why would
you? Don't
you
don't have any like outstanding issues you got to take care of out there?
That, you know, that was a citizen's arrest.
What?
It wasn't even a real arrest.
You got arrested by like a fake cop. Basically, Billy arrested you.
Some guy waved a cop down after I did a hood slide, like a Starsky and Hutch hood slide. Everyone thinks I jumped on a car and was like wrecking it. Like I walked by a car. I thought it was one of my buddies. And I do like a Starsky and Hutch like hood slide, like swipe it on it. Guy gets out of his car and waves down a cop. He's like, hey. This guy, and there was a robbery right next door, so we were locked up in this restaurant for like 4 hours. So they'd caution taped all this area off, and I sit there, and it's me, Paul Pierce, and fucking or in Amendola, and we were, you know, drinking stuff, having a good old time. And as soon as we get out, we were talking about Starsky and Hutch, and I was like, "Hey guys," and I do like a Starsky and Hutch hood slide, and then later. Getting cuffed up.
That's bullshit. That's classic bullshit. California. They don't that understand. They don't understand the hood slide.
Yeah. All right, Jules. Thank you. Okay, before we get to our weekend preview, quick word from our friends at Cross Country Mortgage. Cross Country Mortgage is much like us at Barstool. People first group of people. They are dedicated to the fundamentals of mortgage lending, which results in a fast, convenient, and less stressful home financing or refinancing experience. Mortgages shouldn't be a dirty word. You shouldn't be afraid of it. Everyone should be hoping one day they can own a home, and Cross Country Mortgage can make that a reality. Talk to them. Even if you're not ready to buy a home right this second, they can walk you through the process of what can get you ready to buy a home. Or if you're a homeowner right now, refinance, always possible, always out there. Rates are very low. So talk to Cross Country Mortgage. They do refis as well. They're the best in the biz for a reason. So rates are at all-time low. They may never get this low again. Call today for a fast, free rate quote. Our partners will save you a lot of money. Call today and our friends at Cross Country Mortgage will give you a free home valuation that is free to you just for calling. Just like the all-star athlete, Cross Country Mortgage pushes themselves through the entire lending process. If they get blocks, they figure out ways to get around the ball over the line. Go to crosscountrymortgage.com/barstool to learn more about your future home buying experience or refinance your current mortgage. Cross Country Mortgage LLC, NMLS 3029. All loans subject to underwriting approval. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Cross Country Mortgage. .com/barstool. We're also brought to you by our friends at Raycon, the greatest earbuds in the world, wireless earbuds. It's never too early to start gift shopping for the holidays. Christmas coming up, Hanukkah's coming up, everything's coming up. Raycon wireless earbuds will make everyone happy. It's the best gift you can give someone with seamless Bluetooth pairing and a comfortable noise isolating fit. You can start listening right away and keep listening for hours. The audio quality is amazing, comparable to what you get from other premium brands, except Raycon starts at half the price. The new everyday earbuds come with three new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best with just the right amount of bass. Pure mode, balance mode, bass mode, all of it's there for depending on what you're listening to. Raycon offers 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. There's also built-in mic, and you can take calls on your earbuds at the press of a button. They're the most comfortable wireless earbuds out there. This holiday season, get something they can use for calls or music, for work or play, or home or on the go. Or pick up a pair for yourself. Trust me, you're not gonna you're gonna use them every single day. Go to buyraycon.com/take today. Unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order. So something that is half the price got even cheaper with buyraycon.com/take. But hurry, this offer is available for a limited time only, and you don't want to miss it. That's buyraycon, B-U-Y, Raycon, R-A-Y-C-O-N.com/take to unlock up to 20% off your Raycons. Buyraycon.com/take. Do it right now. Okay, week 11. I'm sad that it's already week 11. I have to just say it. I just have to say it. I know that everyone doesn't like when I do this, but I want to remind people that the football season is fleeting. It's an hourglass, and when college football has two regular season weeks left, the hourglass of time is, I don't even know what the end of that saying is.
The sands of time are slipping through her fingers.
There it is.
Like sand through an hourglass.
Boom.
How do you like that analogy?
That's the spin good. Zone.
We only have 7 more Houston Texans games to watch. So that's cool. That was such a nice little Sunday that we had last week when the Texans were never on our programs.
Yeah, and the Bears.
And
it's
the
nice
Bears.
To have the Bears involved. Shout out Matt Nagy, by the way. I don't know if I'm sure you guys saw, but his quote today where he said, "No one's to blame but everyone."
Yeah.
For the Bears losing streak. That's a true leader. I think General Patton said that.
The spin zone is like, it's saying he's part of that. He's included in that. So he's saying like, it's literally everyone's fault.
It's mine too.
If you look at it from a global perspective in the butterfly effect, mm-hmm. how every single thing causes every other thing to happen. He's right.
Yes.
Everybody that has ever lived on planet Earth is directly responsible in some way for the Bears record at this
point.
It's
no one's fault other than everybody's. That is a true leader right there. That's a guy who's willing to stand up in front of everyone and say, hey guys, it's everyone's fault, which is essentially saying it is my fault. I just can't stomach to say it because I know I'm a failure and a buffoon and everyone hopes I get fired.
Yeah, when he talks to the media, I've noticed this about Matt Nagy. He sounds like if Buddha was really depressed.
Buddha Ben?
No, he sounds like the Buddha.
The Buddha.
Like the guy in charge of the entire religion.
Yeah.
If like the Dalai Lama woke up one day and was just really sad. And his entire life teachings developed a more nihilistic point of view.
He's like if Veep met NFL football. Like he every time he gets in front of the press, he walks off. He's like, I nailed that.
Yeah.
But you see that? You see that what I did there? I got my seat a little cooler because I blamed everyone.
He's like, if Charlie Brown eventually got to kick the football, and the time that it did, it bounced off two uprights.
Yeah, fuck, man. It was nice to have a weekend off. We'll get to those games. But I just thought that was a testament to his leadership to blame everyone. No one but everyone.
It's everyone.
All right. Standings. Jake, it is
chaos.
Chaos.
Hank has a nice lead, 2.5 games up on you, Big Cat, at 22-18, and then four-way tie.
Four-way tie, and then Liam's in last?
Nope, you're in second.
So I'm on the trip.
The rest of us have a four-way tie.
So we got to do rock, paper, scissors, all four of us.
You got to go odds or even.
Should we do one and two?
No, you're one or two. No, yeah, odds or even. You go one, two, three, shoot, you throw a one or a two, whoever's the odd man out is out.
Yeah.
And then you keep doing it until there's...
One, two, three, shoot.
No, PFT threw a three up.
It's
didn't
not,
understand.
But it's not.
Yeah, but it's one or two.
Why can't I put a three in?
Just do a one or a two.
That's bullshit. I should be able to.
Two. It's very easy. One or two. Ready?
What about zero?
Nope. Just go
one
or two.
One, two, three, shoot.
Okay. So Billy is out.
Okay.
Now it's the three of you.
But one, isn't that it? Because we're looking for a loser.
But he won.
But the last.
Yeah, he got
he
it right.
Won.
Oh, yeah.
So, right. Go
one,
again.
One, two, three, shoot.
PFT's out.
Nice.
So now it's rock, paper, scissors, shoot between Liam and Jake. This is all very interesting.
Rock, paper, scissors,
subscribe
shoot.
To the YouTube.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Tie.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
What the fuck? They're tied
rock,
three
paper,
times
scissors,
in a row.
Shoot.
All right.
Bubble
won.
So Jake and I
are going on a trip to LA.
Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds like fun.
That would be really fun.
Two-man wolf pack.
We'd just fucking have a great time. We'd talk some college ball. Which, by the way, can we get a quick review of Indiana?
Yeah, it was fantastic. We got to it in my Firefest a little bit later.
The Imagine Dragons?
Yeah.
That's brutal.
You got Imagine Dragon?
He got Imagine Dragon in IRL.
Jake, you got to be better than that.
All right, we'll talk about it.
You spend enough time around Billy to not fall for D's Nuts jokes.
Yeah,
well that's different.
We'll talk about it on Firefest.
Yeah.
All right, so
it was awesome.
So it is getting tight. So everyone's above 500?
Yeah, we're sharp.
That's incredible.
It's easy to bet on the NFL.
19-5 last week.
Wow, incredible. That means we're going to be a bloodbath.
Like I said, that trend went undefeated last week, the trend of betting on teams that did not cover the spread against teams that did cover the spread. So just want to highlight, since that trend is on such a hot streak this year, the games that do fall under that category, it would be tonight's game.
Yep.
The Ravens against...
Which we just talked about with
Jules. I mean, the Falcons and the Patriots, which we've already talked about. And then you've got the Browns minus 11 over the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Jets plus 3.5 against the Dolphins, the Colts plus 7 against the Bills. So if you're looking to bet that trend, those are the games that you need to follow.
Okay, great. I mean, it makes sense. The trend definitely makes sense. Just go counter what everyone thinks is the way things are going to go. All right, let's do it. Let's talk about the games. Let's do some preview. Hank, your first favorite. I love every dog this weekend, by the way, which means that's a bloodbath.
That's scary.
I feel a bloodbath coming. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to get it out of the way. I've been running a little hot. Bloodbath. Whenever I start to get a little hot, everything falls apart.
And the dogs have been red hot.
Yeah, so bloodbath.
Kyler Murray's not playing, correct?
We don't know yet.
Not sure.
This is your favorite.
He is spending 27 hours a day rehabbing to try to one-up Russell Wilson.
I think the Seahawks looked so bad last week, and the Cardinals won anyway, despite the fact that he's not playing. So whether or not he's playing...
Well, they didn't last week.
The Cardinals got their shit pushed in.
By the Panthers.
Oh, shit. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm still taking them. Okay. Cardinals minus two.
Stick with it.
I like it. I like it. Bubba, let's talk about this game real quick. So this is definitely... This would be the end of their season, though. They have to win this game. 3-7, going 3-7. If they lose this game, there's zero margin for error to come back and get a playoff spot.
So DK Metcalf not suspended for this game, despite being ejected twice in last week's game. I like the Seahawks in it. I really do, because if Kyler doesn't play, we already had the good Colt McCoy game. Strieveler he's a unit.
Yep.
But he's that quintessential guy that can make some noise in the CFL. But when he plays actual football on a field that uses yards instead of meters, he looks so out of place.
My big thing with this game is it feels like everyone is writing off not just the Seahawks, but an era. So when you have an era ending, the Pete Carroll, the Russell Wilson era, it feels like you got to take the Seahawks. Because you don't lose end of an era games.
You could, though, and then that is the end of the era.
Right, but you can lose them in the playoffs. I think you rally the troops to win them in the regular season.
I think that you mostly define end of an era as a season at large.
Yes.
So I don't know if there's... It would have to be a more important game, I think, to be an end of an era game.
Can I change my pick?
This is an end of an era game because if they lose, they probably won't make the playoffs, therefore end of an era.
It's indicative of what the season could become.
Could be an era game.
I want to change my pick.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you going to flip it? Yeah. Are you going to...
I'm not going to flip it.
Oh, you can't blame me.
I'm not blaming you. This is my decision. Hand up.
Yours
Buck starts
alone.
With me. But I am going to flip it to the 49ers.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't want to risk the injury thing. And for some reason, I thought they won last week because I'm a moron. So that logic just went right out the window, and I hated that pick.
Now, you remember Cam Newton was back last week.
Yeah, I'm confirmed a moron.
That Niners-Jags game scares me.
6.5.
6.5. So you're taking Niners minus 6.5. It just scares me because the Jags have been flirting. I'm so mad at that team.
I'm also not a favorites guy.
Like, they should have just quit, and they haven't quit, and now I have to just figure out what's going on. You know, like, beat the Bills. They hung in against the Colts. Maybe they're the team no one wants to play.
They quit too early. That's the problem with the Jaguars. So they found their second win. They're going to quit again. This could be the game that would make – this would be the end of the Urban Meyer era.
Yeah.
If Kyle Shanahan comes in from the West
Coast. Run all over
and
him.
Just stomps him. And Kyle Shanahan, have you guys noticed? He looks – like 30 years older this season than he did in the past. I don't know what it is. He's got the gray hair now. He's got the gray beard. He looks skinnier.
It's also like fucked my head up, whoever made the analogy that he looks like Kendall Roy, because then I now associate all of Kendall Roy's characteristics with like Kyle Shanahan like sitting in a meeting being like, I want my Twitter to be off the hook.
Yeah, or if his dad, if Logan Roy was just like dark, dark red all the time.
Yeah, Mike Shanahan, Logan Roy.
If he had a better tan.
Yes. All right, Bubba, your favorite.
I'm going back with the Bills, -7.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, I took them
playoff matchup from last year.
Bubba, I don't know if you know this, we're discounting the Bills as a bit on this show.
Yeah, it was a bit. It was a total bit.
All right. Does that change your pick?
Everyone
should have to change one pick this week.
No. This is
solidarity with Hank.
This is actually a great slate of games, and this one is a true like what are these teams? Because if the Colts win, it's going to be like, oh fuck, the Colts might be real in the AFC, and if the Bills win, people can kind of calm down about the Bills and not looking great the last few weeks, although they clowned the Jets last.
Yeah,
week.
We kind of fucked up though because we forgot about the Colts Hard Knocks. Which I think you only watch it if you're a diehard fan of the Colts.
Wait, is it going on right now?
It happened like two nights ago.
No, it happened. I want to say it was last night because
Wednesday
I had a
night?
Bunch of people being like, "How are you not watching Hard Knocks?" Like, well, dude, Maction's on, like college basketball's on. I'm sorry, like NBA's on. I can't watch Carson Wentz walk around and not say anything for an hour and a half.
I think that's going to be one of those shows that I just watch strictly through the lens of the memes that come out of that show. I'm going to piece together what happens in the show by the still frames that I see posted online the next day. And as far as I can tell, the big takeaway is that Jim Irsay just got up there and started banging on the table and singing "We Will Rock You" after a game. Like just screaming at the top of his lungs.
I like that.
And it was awesome. It looked like the coolest scene ever. Again, I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
But I'm in favor of Jim Morrissey singing at any point.
All-time Schefter tweet to think that people were like, when remember when he was like, there's big breaking news coming. The Colts are going to have Hard Knocks in the middle of the season. The series that we all have kind of been over for a few years now, let's do more of it when there's actual football on and we don't have to watch, you know, HBO shows and be like, oh, fuck, I wish there were football. Yeah, no, that's a no for me, dog.
The other thing that I saw was...
you like that, Hank?
Yeah, it was good.
Little exhibit?
Frank,
wait, is that exhibit?
No, yeah, no, that's
Randy Jackson.
Randy Jackson.
What was exhibits?
Idol. Oh, you
pimp
like Carson Wentz's? Well, I made you a football team completely out of Carson Wentz.
Yes.
Yeah. So Carson,
I made you a football team out of ducks.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz.
You like fish? I made your entire stadium out of an aquarium.
Yeah. They were talking about that's exactly what Kyle Shanahan does with fullbacks on his team.
Yes.
I made the entire plan out of the black box. Frank Reich scouted Carson Wentz. I also saw this in a meme from Hard Knocks last night. He scouted him by gave all the quarterbacks problem solving and IQ tests during the draft, like online ones. I assume they're the ones that you just get like in your email, like play this IQ test for free here.
Right.
And so he had them take the test twice, and the second time that they took it, he just started screaming at them and spitting on them and throwing hats and shit across the room and telling them that they sucked. Carson Wentz is the only quarterback that he scouted that got better the second time when everybody was yelling at him. So you can just basically throw that entire way of scouting a quarterback out the window based on how he plays.
Absolutely. All right, your favorite PFT?
My favorite is going to... I'm going to go with the system. I'm riding the deep numbers on this one. I'm going the Browns, -11 over the Lions.
Maybe not Jared Goff. We might see David Blau. We might see... No, there's... Actually, David Blau, I think, is hurt, too. We might see line. There's a different Lions quarterback.
I don't know who the backup on the Lions is.
Lions quarterbacks. I want to say Tim Boyle.
He's on the IR.
Yeah, but I think he just got off the IR. I think Tim Boyle might be the one who's going to play. Yeah, he took first team reps. So Tim Boyle.
Where do I know that name from?
He was a Packers backup. Okay. Tim Boyle.
Tim Susan. Boyle.
Watch out for Tim
Boyle.
I'm going
to go ahead and stake my career on betting against Tim Boyle if he is starting.
Yes. Former UConn Husky Tim Boyle. UConn Huskies playing for the Lions, not jerking off in hotel rooms.
I'm just saying.
There's a history.
Just in general, UConn, if the only two teams that you've played for are UConn and the Detroit Lions.
He did play for the Packers.
Did he start, though? Did he start any games for them?
He has not. He has 15 yards passing in his career.
Okay. Yep. I'm going to go ahead and bet against Tim Boyle.
15 yards. And 3 for 4.
Jared Goff has an injured oblique, so that explains how he's performed this year.
Yeah.
He's been playing hurt out there. So congratulations, Jared Goff. You're a tough guy. Dan Campbell's probably just good. If he's still calling the plays, he's going to run the ball 40 times this week.
Yes. Tim Boyle's career stats in the NFL. 2019 is the only time that he had stats. Oh, no, he had some in 2022. But 2019, 3 for 4, 15 yards. 5 rushing attempts, -7 yards, 1 fumble.
Don't like it.
Lighting it up.
Don't like it.
Tim Boyle.
So I love the Browns this week.
All right, my favorite is going to be the Raiders, -1. Raiders, -1. They have been bad recently. Bengals off a bye. Okay, that's fine. I think this is a line in the sand game for both of these teams who can keep their season going forward. I'm going to say the Raiders. I'm going to say Rich Bisiccia's got one more foxhole moment in him. They got their ass kicked by the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Everyone last saw that. Raiders, -1. Give it to me.
Okay. I think I like the Bengals in this one, but not enough to bet on.
Yeah. I think Rich Bisiccia's got one more. He's got one more rally the troops.
I do love that John Gruden is actually going through with a lawsuit against Roger Goodell for being an anti-football pussy.
Yeah.
He should just file a lawsuit that says that as the title of it. Get it thrown out the first day, but just have it be a matter of public record.
Yes.
That Goodell is an anti-football P-word.
That would be great if Goodell had to prove that he wasn't an anti-football pussy. Billy.
Going with the Buccaneers, -11.
Billy, are you eating right now?
Oh, yeah. No, this is just one of the part of my biggies.
Oh, from Barstool Bites app.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's a great sandwich.
Hell yes. Barstool Bites app. Go check it out right now. We got everything. We got part of my biggie. We got a bunch of White Sox Dave's chicken wing bucket is my personal favorite. Go right now if you want to eat some food.
The buff chick dip is my personal favorite.
The buff chick dip is very, very good, and the chips that come with it are very, very good. Stop getting like the usual, you know, you probably At this point in the season, you're probably bored with your Sunday options of food. Well, guess what? Barstool Bites app has everything that you want and more.
I like the Franz Frickles because they're fried pickle chips that are sliced in the chip fashion, not in the spear fashion, so you get more surface area of the fried.
That was a weak bite, Billy. I thought you were going to really...
That was a weak bite. So go right now, Barstool Bites app. Go download it. You can download it from the App Store, I think, and you can go to barstoolbites.com. You can order food anywhere and get delivered right to your house. And also, if you put in code Barstool, you get $3 off orders of $15 or more. So barstoolbites.com, Apple Store, Google Play, Barstool Bites. Download that app. Use code Barstool. You get $3 off orders of $15 or more. Awesome, awesome menu items. Perfect, perfect football menu right to your door. Okay, so Billy, you have the Bucks. Minus 11?
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones, you know they are wearing their Color Rush white uniforms. Did you know that?
I did not, but I don't think the Giants have ever performed well in their Color Rush.
Mm.
Is that true?
Statistically, maybe.
I think they've
always
lost.
Isn't this where he got his first win?
He did.
Sure is.
He did. Yeah. Yes, he did. He did. Saquon might be back?
Might be back, but the reason I'm saying this is because last week, Tom Brady had a one-minute press conference.
Yep.
And basically...
You okay?
And basically was pissed off as fuck. This week, I don't think he's going to let that happen again. And if you remember last year, there was a Buccaneers-Giants game that was way too close for comfort for the Bucs.
Yep.
And I think he's going to avenge that.
Yes, but that Giants, was also a Monday Night Football
Giants game, against Tom Brady in general.
Yeah.
Bad history for him. Mm. So he's going to be pissed off. Might press a little bit. Do we know, is AB coming back?
Mm.
Is
Antonio, most important player.
Is he coming back to that offense? Because that's a big difference.
Are you trying to win this game?
Not really.
Okay.
Okay. Not really.
If you did, it would be okay, but you're not really. Okay, got it. Jake, your favorite.
I'm taking the Ravens minus -5 against your Bears. I think I did it a few weeks ago.
The Bears are going to win.
As a starter, Lamar Jackson, 13-0 in the regular season when playing on shorter rests against the team's opponent.
Mm-hmm. The thing that's going to make me most mad, I'm pre-mad about the Bears, is that the Dolphins, I don't want to say there's a blueprint to beating the Ravens, but the Dolphins did blitz the hell out of Lamar Jackson and made it very difficult. And it seems like that's probably the way, instead of like dropping everyone back in coverage and letting Lamar Jackson just be faster than everyone, maybe put some pressure on him, play some offense with your defense. The Bears probably watch that game and they're like, nah, we're going to beat him our way.
They played a lot of cover zero against him, so I don't know if the Bears are going to follow up on that.
But no, they won't. Anything smart, they won't do.
Another important thing to note is that Lamar Jackson has been out 2 days this week with diarrhea. Again,
poopy pants.
He's the most diarrheaed quarterback in the NFL, and he always plays great. He plays lighter when he's had diarrhea. So this is a big-time intestinal bug issue for the Ravens and for Lamar Jackson, so I'm going to bet on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I'm not very excited about this game. I just want Justin Fields to look good. But yeah, it was a nice break last week not having the Bears on Sunday. Could kind of just clear your mind and not have that anxiety.
I also think there's a decent chance that every time Lamar Jackson says he has diarrhea during the week, it's just Harbaugh giving him a couple days off just to rest him up, which is smart. In fact, I think there will eventually be a coach, if your team's talented enough, you'll find a coach that gives his players off training camp for the most part, like his good players.
Yeah.
And just be like, hey, we're going to put you on the injury report just so you don't have to practice and risk an injury. You have to have veterans on the team, obviously, to do that. And I think it's probably more important to have the offensive and defensive lines play together in actual, you know, contact situations than it is for some of the other guys, like a wide receiver, a running back, or a quarterback, especially. So
yeah,
he might just be lying. He's like, hey, Lamar, just FYI, as long as you're not embarrassed, we're going to say that you got diarrhea again this week.
It's kind of what they do with Gronk. I feel like they give him, you know, weeks off. Why would you want to push someone why would you make him practice all the time if he knows the offense and he runs the first team anyway? Give him that extra break. I agree. Mm-hmm. Hank, you're underdog. You like them all?
I don't like them all this week. I'll probably take them all this week, though. Because I love my underdogs.
You don't like them individually. You love the concept of them.
In theory, they're beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, what happens, you guys know, it's like you look at your picks all week, and then when it comes time to actually, you know, man up, sign into your account, and make those picks, I see that plus sign, I black out. Mm-hmm. If when in doubt, I usually just don't bet it or like bet the over-under because... You know, betting favorites is just for suckers.
Yeah.
With that being said, I did like the Lions. Again, I'm probably going to go 0-4 this week because I got talked out of the Cardinals.
You did not.
No, I'm saying not.
You did.
Like, you guys didn't force me to do
you
it.
You talked yourself.
You guys talked it out loud, and I, like, talked me out of it.
An error game is very important.
The same thing happened with the Lions, because I was going to take the Lions, but I can't after going through those stats. I just can't in good faith do it. So I'm going to, you know, audible here and go with the Jets, New York Jets.
Ooh.
They've gotten absolutely shit-pumped, embarrassed.
Joe Flacco.
They cannot play as bad as they've played. Rex Ryan gave him some bulletin board material. Robert Saleh. And yeah, water always finds its level. They've literally been the worst team maybe in the history of football the last few weeks. So
yep. Clowned left and right. Billy, how are you feeling about your Jets this weekend?
They're also my underdog.
There we go.
I've got them just for the Flacco factor.
You got Flacco coming back.
Flacco is ready to go. See, the thing about Joe Flacco is he admitted he was not vaccinated, but he said, I don't want it to be a story. And the media was just like, okay, we just won't make this a story since he asked so polite. I think Joe Flacco was just saying, like, a lot of people need boosters. People who are immunocompromised need to have their lives saved out
there. Let them go first.
So I'm going to say, I'm not going to jump the line. I'm Joe Flacco. I will actually go out there and save lives.
Like Bryson
DeChambeau.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, I do think that Joe Flacco, even before this year, we talk about the most sackable quarterbacks in the NFL. And this year it's probably, what, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins?
Yep.
Joe Flacco immediately jumps to the top of that list.
He's an old school quarterback in that he wears cement boots.
Yeah,
like when
even when he was fast, he was slow.
Yeah, when quarterbacking used to be all like, hey, if you have a rocket arm, it doesn't matter that you can't move.
Mm-hmm.
The position has changed, but Joe Flacco persists, and I'm excited to watch Joe Flacco. Yeah.
I just think that Flacco is a guy that will get a couple pass interference calls in this game. That's what he does when he takes shots, actually. He usually ends up on the better side of it because he gets a lucky flag.
Yep.
But yeah, Joe Flacco, is he elite? We'll find out.
All right, so 3 out of 6 of us are on the Jets plus 3.5. Bubba, you're underdog.
I'm going with the Bengals.
Ooh,
plus 1
okay.
Over the Raiders.
Yes. Great color matchup between these two teams, by the way.
Absolutely.
Also, shout out UCLA, USC, meaning nothing this weekend, but that is the GOAT of uniform matchups.
Yeah. Are those the most arrested teams, the Bengals and the Raiders, throughout league history?
They gotta be, yeah.
Yeah, somebody run those stats. I'd like to see.
Vontaze Burfict Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
Revenge game against himself.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go with the Seahawks, end of an era. I'm going to take Seahawks plus 2. They just can't. They can't be as bad as they were, and it looks like they were very, very bad. Their defense actually has played a little bit better, but I'm just betting on Russell Wilson figuring out a way. Like, doesn't he seem like the guy? He's not going to suck 2 weeks in a row, is he?
Unless he happened to re-injure his finger by coming back like 3 weeks early.
Mr. Unlimited?
Which is an issue. Yeah, I mean, he says that he's getting treatment. He's waking up at, what, 5 a.m. to start treatment on
his
finger?
He's not sleeping.
What can you do to your finger to get treatment to make it heal faster? Besides, obviously, soaking it in concussion water.
Cracking your knuckles?
That's probably it.
Yeah.
I don't know what he could possibly be doing, like getting a finger massage.
Shout out to kid in every like grade school that would crack their knuckles endlessly. That was always gross.
You were a knuckle cracker?
No, I'm a knuckle cracker, but you know what I'm talking about. There was always one kid who would do it like nonstop, and it was like, all right, dude, we get it. You can crack your knuckles.
I used to have a back trick that would freak people out.
Yeah.
You want to see it?
Blow it out.
I'd do this.
Yeah, blow it out
first. Oh, no. Be careful.
Oh, my God.
What?
But that's not. It's not. I'm like doing this.
Sound. Oh, it's just that he got us. David fucking Blaine.
You got us.
I would just do that in class like when I was bored and like the like people next to me that didn't see it, they'd be like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God.
You can do it with your neck, too.
Yeah. No, you know what I'm saying. The one kid who just, he would always crack his knuckles just nonstop.
Yeah, that's me.
It is?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
And it's gross.
Yeah, it is gross.
Also, the person who gets totally grossed out by it. It like makes a huge scene whenever.
I wouldn't get grossed out
about
it.
That's Big Cat.
No, I actually, it was just the guy who did it too much, like Liam.
I was agnostic towards it. I was like, oh, there's the weirdo doing the knuckle crack thing again.
I crack my knuckles. I like cracking my knuckles. But it's the kid, and Bubba, you can speak to this. It's like they crack their knuckles and then they can still crack it. Like if I crack my knuckles,
I can do it at like any point.
Yeah, right.
Like I don't know why.
Okay, yeah, that's weird. Like if I crack my knuckles, it's cracked for the day. Done. Bubba's just cracking all the time. He's cracking it. All right. Billy, you have your underdog, Jake.
taking the Saints plus two against the Eagles because Trevor Siemian's a Manning, and he addressed it publicly.
He did. Yeah. So what did he say exactly? He's like, I've heard this.
Yeah, he said he's heard it before.
I love it. I love it. I also, this game reminds me of what happened, PFT, you have a better memory than me. In 2014.
Fact check, false.
The Saints-Eagles, did something happen with the TV during that game, the playoff game?
I don't know.
Did I make that up?
I don't know if anything happened with the TV, but wasn't. Was that the game that Sean Payton game planned like 2 weeks in advance, or the one where he went ahead and he game planned if they would play against Eagles after they lost?
No, I'm talking about 2014. Nick Foles, the season he went 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
I don't know why it popped in my head when I was looking at the slate. I want to say the TVs like went out, and maybe it was just a personal problem. For like 10 minutes.
Every TV in the world?
Say, I think maybe you didn't pay your bill.
Yeah, that sounds like a personal.
Yeah,
maybe it was a personal. Maybe it was just in Chicago. I don't know. Someone will correct me. Something happened. Nick Foles, though, going 27-2 that year is still
incredible.
No,
I think simultaneously everybody just threw something at their television because they couldn't believe that Nick Foles was actually good.
Eagles television malfunction. All right, go ahead, Hank, your favorite over.
My favorite over is the, what do I have on my list?
Yeah, I made this up. It definitely was my own TV.
The Saints.
Okay. Sean Payton, by the way, is going nuclear on Commissioner Goodell
Saints
right now.
Saints-Eagles over 43. Good. Fuck Roger Goodell.
He's doing the thing that Sean Payton loves to do because they did get fucked on that roughing the passer call last
week.
So
fucked.
The Ryan Tannehill
call. Oh, I thought you were talking about the Rams one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Saints just always get fucked.
Yes.
It's Roger Goodell's favorite pastime. In fact, Sean Payton should join in as a co-signer on John Gruden's lawsuit.
A Saints-Patriots Super Bowl would be like the ultimate Arnold and Carl Weathers handshake
It'd
meme.
It'd be a tie.
Wow.
That would be the first tie.
Like, who would you like to face in the Soupy?
Who would I like to face?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you'd be like, yeah, like you'd love to face, I don't know, the Lions.
Yeah, the fun team to take down. I mean, the Packers would be fun.
That would be a wild Soupy.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bucks.
No, not the Bucks.
Oh.
Not the Bucks.
Scared? That's the answer.
You're scared?
That's the answer.
Anyone,
so Hank, you know what? That's
the answer.
That tells me everything I need to know.
That's the answer.
That tells me everything I need to know, Hank, because
that would be the
you're
best.
Scared of Tom Brady.
That would be the best.
It means you're not super ready.
It's literally like when, you know, like the Watt brothers face off against each other and the parents have to watch.
I'm an idiot for even like not, of course,
like I would
that's
root for the Patriots, but it would every other team, it's all like, it'd be all joy if we won, no sadness, fuck the other team. If we beat the Bucks, it would be like, you know.
You're not super. If you don't have the confidence to say like we want to beat the best,
you literally don't know the first thing about soup.
I've won two Super Bowls.
Don't tell me what's soup ready or
I've
not soup ready.
Soupies. I've got two soups in my lifetime.
What, when you were like three?
Yeah, two and five, I believe.
Yeah, soupy.
Yeah, it's soup season.
Don't even talk to me about soupies.
I know that Hank pretends to be confident, like, oh yeah, we're ready for the Super Bowl this year, but I can tell that you're not because you're afraid of playing against another team in it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play the Bucs.
All right, you're over. Wait, what was your over?
Saints-Eagles.
Saints-Eagles. All right, Bubba.
Chiefs and Cowboys over 55.5.
Yes.
Yep, that's going to be the fun one.
Let's go. 56.5.
It's 55.5.
Just changed.
I don't care.
What?
We can take 55.5.
I just wrote it down. It's 55.5.
No, literally 30 minutes ago when I pulled this up, it was too, and I guess it just changed. But we can take 55.
That's because we're sharps.
I might do the ball turn it over on that one. That one's going to be just a points factory. I'm very excited about that. Clock management's going to suck, though. That's the only thing. Like, you got Mike McCarthy and Andy Reid duking at it in the final 2 minutes of a half, trying to see who can fuck up the clock the least.
I think we have to set a number, because if it ends at 56.
Let's say 56.
All right, that's fair.
Even 56?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's say 56. I'm so excited for that game. But that is, so that's my over as well. That's always just a very scary proposition.
Yeah.
Because if you have 8 minutes if you have one drive that ends in an interception, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
But that game's going to be great. It's also going to be a great test of, I'm just very excited for this week because I feel like we're going to learn a lot from this week. Like, if the Cowboys go into Kansas City, they are on soupy watch times a billion. And if the Chiefs win, they might be back on soupy watch.
I need to know what's going on with Jackson Mahomes, if he's going to be present at the game. If his lack of presence last week was something that was requested of him by his brother, maybe his brother's turning into little Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Ooh.
Trouble in paradise with the Mahomes family. And I also need to know if this is going to be a Mike McCarthy, what his motivational strategy is going to be this week.
Yes.
It's not another red ass game.
No, it can't
be. It's not a red ass week. Although every week is a red ass week when you're Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to bring out any motivational tactics. Not a watermelon game this week. You can't dip into that bag of tricks.
Nope. All right. So what's your over, PFT?
So my over is going to be the football team at Carolina, 43. I thought this
Ron Rivera revenge.
Double revenge game. Cam Newton revenge game.
Against Ron Rivera.
Yeah. For not hiring him on the football team. So I know that Ron Rivera says that he has a file of defensive plays ready to use against Cam. He literally said, like, I've got binders filled with women.
Whoa.
That I'm ready to utilize against Cam. And also, fun little nugget here, Luke Del Rio, the son of Jack Del Rio, mm-hmm. defensive coordinator for the football team, played high school football with Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, wow. That is fun.
That's a fun little nugget. But, that yeah, I feel nugget. Like 43, especially when you look at that football team defense, I don't know how it's going to stay under that.
Yeah, I mean, no Chase Young, no Montez Sweat. It's going to be and Christian McCaffrey looks good again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he does. That was the biggest takeaway. Cam took all the headlines, but Christian McCaffrey, that was the first time I was like, whoa, he's back to being Christian McCaffrey. Bill, you're over.
Steelers-Chargers, 46.5.
Now, is this a win or a loss?
This is a loss.
Okay. So, you no chance.
No, I think this is...
I hope Big Ben plays.
Yeah.
It'd be very fun to see him on Sunday Night Football. Yeah, I don't know if he will.
Can he self-report as being healthy again?
What a unbelievable that he self-reported. What a great guy.
Probably saved some lives.
It's like the most you think that Big Ben self-reported an injury or illness?
Well, what was the big quarterback story this last week in terms of an illness or something that Big Ben could copy? Because it's got to be in his brain. He's got to have something that isn't. Cam Newton's back. Cam Newton's a vegan. Maybe Big Ben goes vegan for the week.
Yeah, I could see him, like, throwing up on the team plane. They're like, Big Ben is still sick. Nope. He just tried to eat tofu once.
He needs meat. He's going through meat withdrawals right now.
All right. Jake, you're over.
Billy, we're looking at 47 now.
Okay.
Again,
we're sharp, so we're moving lines.
Yeah. I'm taking the Cardinals Seahawks over 48.5.
Ooh.
I think Russ can... Last week was a little bit of a coming back in it.
Yep.
And if Kyler plays, I think I like this even more. Even
End
if
of
not,
an error game.
I feel like, yeah, we'll see.
All right, Hank, you're under to wrap it up.
I'm 9-1 on my unders, by the way.
Whoa.
Shout out to PMT Stats and Info for that.
That's crazy.
It is pretty crazy. So this is probably going to be a loser. Raiders, Bengals, under 50.
Okay.
That's also my under.
Whoa. We got dueling unders here.
Are we on, like, all the same picks here?
I think so.
Very
similar.
Jets and Raiders Bengals.
All right, Bubba, yours?
I have, who is it? Texans Titans under 44.5.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like that's an ugly game.
That could also be, like, that could end up being Titans 40, Texans 3.
Yeah.
And still hit that under.
Although doesn't it feel like this is the perfect spot for the Titans to have a letdown spot? I think they're going to win the game, but... They've just been playing playoff teams. They've been rolling every week. Now they play a Titans or Texans team that is like not even a real team.
Mm-hmm.
That might be. Just look at that as an underdog. Hold your nose.
Are we doing Mills Mafia again? Or are we still on?
No,
Terod?
It's Terod's back.
It's still Terod.
Yeah, Terod's
officially back.
Yeah, because they had the bye week after the Dolphins game. All right, you're under.
I'm going to go Niners Jags under 45.5. Just gross game. Probably not going to watch a second of it.
Nope.
It'll cut in occasionally on Red Zone, and it'll be Siciliano doing the thing where he's like, and watch this big play, and then somebody fumbles the ball in like the 20-yard line, and it's going the other way now.
Yes, yes. All right, my under is going to be the Colts and the Bills under 49.5. I think the Colts are going to try to run the ball, play a little clock management, not let Carson Wentz make any mistakes. So yeah, give me that under 49.5, and then Jake, your last one, and then we'll wrap up any other
with
games.
PFT Niners Jags under 45.5.
All right, so those are our picks. We didn't talk. No one picked anything on the Packers Vikings game.
Yeah,
interesting.
I'm waiting to find out if Kirk's going to be wearing the white wedding ring or the black wedding ring, because somebody looked up the stats and he's much much better when he wears the white wedding ring. That's the one he puts on when he's really not going to cheat on his wife.
Damn. So I think this game makes me nervous because it's a lose-lose for me, because I'm annoyed whenever the Vikings win and Kirk Cousins fans are like, you were wrong. And then obviously I'm annoyed anytime the Packers win. So which one hurts less? Probably the Vikings winning and the Packers losing, so that means the Packers will win. There it is.
I just figured it out for everyone. If the Packers win, the better the Packers are in the regular season, the bigger the disappointment is going to be when they lose in the playoffs.
Good point.
So you almost want them to win out and then lose against an inferior team in the first round.
Or Aaron Rodgers get injured. I don't know. We don't root for injuries. But he has been injured before in, was it Everson Griffin?
Yep. He's been landed on a couple times.
Shane McClellan, Bear for life. We don't root for injuries, but it would be a shame. Okay, any other games that we missed? I think that's it.
I think we hit them all.
We hit them all. Good job, boys. We hit them all. Let's do Fantasy Jake's, and then we will wrap up with Firefest.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
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 You are now looking live at Hank Lockwood.
My stardom is Scorigamis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Scorigamis every day. I just fucking want to fuck a Scorigami. So hopefully this weekend
a Scorigami.
I can F-U-C-K the S-H-I-T out of a F-U-C-K-I-N-G Scorigami.
Numbies.
My situm is the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh.
They've destroyed their brand by changing their iconic name, the Staples Center, to the Crypto Center. It's just a terrible idea, and I just think that Staples Center was such a great and original name, and the fact that they changed it to a corporation is disgusting.
The house that Kobe built.
Bill Plaschke said it best when he said it feels like they're taking away a bit of his memories.
Yes, I actually had that as my situm as well. Or no, that was your situm.
That was my situm indeed.
It was Big J Bill Plaschke.
That was my situm indeed. My sleeper is DK Metcalf.
Oh.
Recurring guest. I think he's going to have a big week. He didn't get suspended, so he's going to pop off.
He doesn't do that much sleeping.
Nope. Make sure you pronounce the end on that one. Sleeper.
A lot of S-E-X.
Yeah. With multiple females.
Scorigami.
P in Vs.
He is extremely straight, both on the field and off it.
Birds and the bees, folks. Back after this.
Mr. Cat, Mr. Commentary.
What are you going to do for the background music for this?
I was literally just thinking that.
Maybe SEC on CBS?
What's Syracuse's theme song?
Yeah.
Syracuse have a fight song.
Syracuse fight song.
Yeah.
The okay. Masters.
Mr. Commentary?
Hello, alongside my co-host Big Cat, Hank Lockwood, and Billy Football, this is Jake Marsh. This weekend, I'm starting B-E-E-R-S. Starting drinking some beers. That's right, some cold ones. Responsibly. I had an 8-ounce beer, I chugged it really quickly, and people are saying I am the best in the office.
Wow.
I'm sitting the Texas Tech football announcing team. That's
oh,
right.
Oh, that's my sit.
They've been suspended by the Big 12 for naming the officials in their game against Iowa State and saying the commissioner wants them to win this game. Listen, I'm all for a bit of fun in the box. You'll never catch the Texas Tech meat judging announcers making a mistake like that. Those guys are pros. Pros. My sleeper is post-nasal drip. It's that time of year again. You party a little too hard staying up late, playing Sporkle quizzes about stadiums, and you wake up with the shakes chasing that dragon. The afrin is leaving your system, and you miss it. You need it. You need that F-U-C-K-I-N-G nasal drip spray. You need it. This has been Jake Marsh. Back to you, Big Cat.
Ah, thank you, Mr. Commenter. Both my sleeper and my situm has been taken, but that's why I went to Syracuse Journalism School so I could think on the fly. My stardom is flu shots. Everyone's talking about vaccines. You gotta remember, flu shots are also important.
Enough with the influencers. How about the influenzas?
My situm was also the Texas Tech announcers. That was disgusting what they did. I would never do that. My name is Jake Marsh. My sleeper is... Jake, give me a sleeper. Give me a sleeper. NyQuil, but not too much of it. One dose per every 24 hours. Make sure you don't overdose on NyQuil, folks. Make sure you get your flu shot, and make sure you take your Advil and your Tylenol, but never together.
And stay away from dogs.
Dogs, dogs, dogs. Bad dogs.
Zyrtec.
Zyrtec. Okay, Billy.
What's up, guys? It's Jake Marsh here on the call. My stardom is EpiPens. Yes, EpiPens. When you have allergic reactions, you need something quick to help you with an autoimmune disorder. EpiPens help you. Always got to carry your EpiPens.
I keep that mother F-U-C-K-I-N-G thang on me.
My situm is dust mites.
Oh.
Dust mites. Oh, they're the worst. They're everywhere. They're everywhere you sit. They're in pillows. And then you smell them, and sometimes you're allergic to them, and they make you sneeze. Dust mites are my situm. And my sleeper is John Rothstein's dreamy eyes. Have you ever looked inside of them? I actually really, really, really think that we should give John Rothstein a little more credit for his on-air persona and how presentable he is.
Yes.
John Ross. Agreed.
All right.
Jake Marsh.
That's Jake Marsh
crush on John Rothstein.
How do we do, Jake?
I don't think I sound like I do not talk like a robot like this.
No, you don't.
No, you
so
do.
So he did a bad job. Oh, you think he talks like a robot?
No, when he's announcing.
I don't think he talks like a robot.
That would be bad.
Yeah, that would be very bad.
I welcome the criticism from Billy.
I thought that's how it's supposed to sound.
You're not the first one to dislike it. You won't be the last.
Jake, what do you think about Texas Tech, the guys that got suspended for this week?
I think when you're a homer, you have a lot more slack. They didn't curse. They didn't say anything like disrespectful. There's criticism.
Yeah, they
the
were just mad.
So, yeah.
Jake, did you partake in Indiana.
Yeah.
Did you partake in the sloppy seconds chant?
No.
Okay.
And that was my guy, Steph Smith.
Okay.
Vermont
right.
transfer.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Would never do that.
Disgusting. Can't believe college kids would chant something at an
There
opponent.
Was a New York Post article.
I saw
that.
That was
ridiculous.
Like, were you alive when J.J. Redick was playing? Like, this is what college kids do.
Yeah. I don't. Over the line.
Yeah, over the line.
Crazy.
Over the line. All right. Let's
it's
do.
A fact.
Yeah. Let's do Firefest. Before we get to Firefest, PFT, you got a word from two of our sponsors.
Yeah, I love. Taking the time out to talk about Sling TV because a lot of us on this show have always wondered how to cut the cord. We're too old sometimes, it feels like, to cut the cord. We're too reliant on cable. Well, the easiest way to do it is with Sling TV. If you love watching live sports but you're tired of high prices, take control of your TV experience. It's time that you got Sling. Sling is the place where your favorite sports channels like ESPN, FS1, TNT, and more are all together for less, and you can even get the best viewing experience on TV, the NFL Red Zone. With Sling Blue and Sports Extra Package, you get Red Zone, NFL Network, and more for only $21 your first month. Plus, watch past episodes of Part of My Take, The Yak, Stool Streams, exclusive new Barstool content for free on the Barstool Sports channel on Sling. Sling's easy to set up, super easy to use, no contracts, starting at just $35 a month. Sign up now, get your first month for just $10. Whatever you're into, Sling's the place that you can get it. Go to sling.com/barstool to sign up now. Get your first month starting at just $10. That's when you go to sling.com/barstool. And our Firefest of the Week is going to be brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're a business owner, it can be tough to hire top talent for your team, especially when you're competing with other businesses to find the right people. So you can get the hiring edge on ZipRecruiter. They have an invite to apply feature that lets you invite the best candidates to apply for your open roles. Now you can try it for absolutely free at ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. Invite to apply is very easy. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, you start getting the most qualified people sent to you really quickly. Then you can easily review recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply with one click. Next Key marketing manager Erin Hartje loves invite to apply. She says, "They get my job posting in front of the right people. I instantly see great candidates, and I can invite them to apply to my job." Take it from Erin. You can basically tell ZipRecruiter who you need, when you need it, and they deliver for you. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, let's wrap up. We got Firefest of the Week. Then we'll send everyone to a great football weekend. Hank.
So my Firefest, I've been going to a chiropractor once a week due to my back injury. It's been getting a lot better.
Blew your back out.
Blew my back out. Shout out to Tom Curran in New York City. He's been taking care of me. But this Tuesday, I go on Tuesdays. This Tuesday, we had things move up. We were doing the show early. We had an interview early. So I moved my chiropractor up early. It was just run a little bit later. I usually like to have my, you know, coffee and bagel before I leave. Do everything I got to do on this particular day. I was running a little late. I took my coffee, my bagel on the train with me. I was kind of eating and going on the road. So by the time I got to the chiropractor, we were doing all these stretches and moving up and down. And I had some gas, you know, morning gas.
Ooh,
had to take my morning shit. And I was obviously trying to hold it in. But then he's like, all right, you know, do this exercise where you're like bending down and bending forward. And I'm trying to hold it in. And I didn't even try and squeeze one by because I wouldn't try and do that. But I was standing up and one just like came out.
Was it an audible one?
It was audible-ish, but not audible enough to be like, I didn't say anything, but I was like, I think he heard it.
Yeah, of course he knew.
Now, was the impact, was it smelly?
It was not smelly, thank
That's
God.
That's good. That's good.
But he knew. It was. He definitely knew. I definitely probably should have said something. I've been thinking about it all week, how awkward it was. So that's my Firefest of the week.
That's a brutal one.
We need to get you doing squats to make your ass bigger, because you can't hold in farts with that thing.
No, I can't.
It's like trying to stop the tide with a toothpick.
I'm on a mission for an ass. Ass and a six pack.
I forgot about the six
I'm
pack.
I'm in constant pursuit.
Me too. Yeah,
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All I need is an
Soupy six pack?
That's my goal.
Okay. I like
I'm
it.
Not, I'm, Everyone's not any, have goals. I'm not making any guarantees.
Yeah.
But it'll be LA, you know, beach. It'll be cool to just rip off the top and be sixed up.
I love it. I love it.
Maybe four.
PFT, your Firefest of the week.
My Firefest is I woke up on Wednesday morning and my shoulder was dislocated. I dislocated it in my sleep.
Well, didn't you get like very drunk after your last show Tuesday, or is that
coincidental? I stayed up until about like 1 a.m.
Very drunk?
If that's late. No, I wasn't very drunk. I came home, watched an episode of Seinfeld, went to sleep, and I slept, as far as I can tell, in a normal position. And I woke up and my shoulder was literally out of its socket. And I had to pull it back into its socket. And it's felt like it's been halfway in for the last 2 days. And I don't really believe in going to a doctor unless it's an emergency. So yep. I'm just kind of hoping it goes away.
You want to go to my chiropractor guy?
No, I said a doctor. So I'm going to go to...
His name's Doctor on Instagram.
Oh, then there you go.
Dr. Dre.
Done.
Also a doctor.
Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Great doctor.
Doctor.
So I'm trying to figure out what it is I need to do because it is... I had surgery on the shoulder a while ago, but since then, it's been, for the most part, more or less, staying in bounds, but this is the first time it's been out.
Middle of the night injuries are just the worst. I've sprained my ankle in the middle of the night. You just wake up and you're like, how did this happen? What went down?
I actually think that sleeping is the most dangerous thing that we do once we hit our mid-30s.
Yeah, yeah. You can get in a lot of trouble in there. All right, my Firefest, I had to go to the dentist again, and I'm so sick of the dentist. I can feel half my mouth right now. Fucking sucks. Kids, go to the dentist. You guys haven't gone to the dentist, right?
Not in a while, no.
Yeah, you guys COVID. Are fucked.
I brought him my floss.
Yeah, of course you did, Jake.
Jake, do you have the magnet on your refrigerator?
No.
I'm finally, though, caught up. Like, this was my final, like, hey, Dan, you're a fucking moron. You didn't go to the dentist for 5 years. I'm finally good. Now it's going again will be key, but I finally have caught up to all my past errors.
I have a theory about dentists. I think that sometimes you go there. If your mouth feels fine and you go to the dentist, sometimes they put little holes in your teeth, and they're like, oh, I found a cavity. You're going to have to come back.
Yeah. You my dentist is great, so I appreciate my dentist. Got me fixed up, but goddamn does it suck walking out of there and being like half a face.
But you get the laughing gas.
Yeah, but then when they take it off, it's like, I want that all the time. I just want to walk around with the nitrous going to my brain, have like holes in my brain, like the fish slot. All right, Billy.
So, been working a couple weeks on making these Part of My Take NFTs.
Not the ones, the experimental ones.
That's totally different.
Yeah.
The experimental
that's just
ones.
Side cash.
Also, you did ruin the experiment. I didn't want to mention on the show. For the sake of the
experiment. What was the experiment?
So your personal NFTs are being sold for more money than you thought they would. As a bit.
It's an experiment.
Well, I was never going to mention them. I really want to talk about these Part of My Take NFTs that will be coming out soon. But someone figured out that you could right-click certain NFTs and save them, like a file.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a totally new marketplace of NFTs called Pirate NFTs. It's like a story that just came out where someone's just copying a bunch of NFTs.
Wait, didn't we say this was going to happen the whole time? You could just like screenshot these things?
You can screenshot, but now the crypto guys and the NFT guys are making fun of people who are making that joke, being like, yo, that joke's played out. You can't just save it. That's not funny anymore.
But then they did.
But then you can save it, and then they're like, yo, that's not a funny joke. So now it's just like a battle.
Unsave that, bro.
Yeah, a battle between two of the least funny people online going back and forth at each other.
But you yourself can own one of these NFTs. The auction's starting soon.
And they can't be copied.
They cannot. These ones cannot be copied.
We'll see about that.
I went. It's going to take a little longer
to stress
make them,
test those.
But we're stress testing. These ones are going to be rock solid NFTs.
Okay. That's this has all the makings of someone figuring out how to steal it within like 4 seconds of it going live.
We're only releasing three now, not four.
Oh,
three.
The fourth was going to get stolen?
Yeah.
Okay. So these are unstealable.
These are unstealable.
Don't
NFTs.
Even try it, folks.
Yeah. You cannot steal these.
High security.
Don't try it.
I want to let you guys know, I had a great opportunity on Tuesday night. I got to meet Billy's mom.
Oh, wow.
She was a lovely lady. It was very interesting, though, because she let me in on a little bit of insight into Billy's childhood.
Uh-oh.
Billy's always been excellent at drawing frogs, apparently.
Oh.
It was his favorite thing to do since he was a child, and he was known throughout his entire town as having the best proportions on all the frogs that were drawn.
Wow,
he had the proportions
Billy.
Down since he was a child. So this is something that Billy's been working on for a long. There's been blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into these NFTs.
I honestly, some of my art in elementary school was featured in a Discovery Channel, like museum thing.
Uh huh.
It's kind of cool.
She told me the list of
that doesn't sound
the list of reptiles and amphibians that Billy's had in his house growing up.
You haven't taken your kid to the Discovery Channel Museum.
3 minutes. I'll show the entire list.
Absolutely, like
Billy, the certificate. I'll
great job. We're gonna feature this
on our channel museum.
Yeah.
I don't remember the specifics. I just have the plaque, and they took
that says
my
featured on the Discovery Channel.
Yep.
And your mom's signature on the bottom.
It was something different. I'll find the plaque.
I actually had multiple teeth be captured by the Tooth Fairy when I was a kid. I have the plaque for that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Your it's plaque
pretty
is impressive.
Pretty huge.
In the quarters.
Yeah, well, Santa Claus wrote me a letter back personally.
Whoa.
Was it framed?
Fuck.
Were your plaques framed?
Yeah, all of them were framed.
Mine's framed.
Mm. Mine had two frames on it.
Yep.
Was yours?
Mine had frame and saran wrap, so it's extra framed.
Hmm.
Huh. All right, Jake.
Yeah, so we had a Bench Mob live show in Bloomington last night. We had some Q&As going around for the fans, and some guy asked me. It wasn't just basketball. We're like Barstool, anything. And he's like, you know the song Radioactive? And I was excited because I usually don't. Last time.
You're not a music guy.
I thought it was a Hootie and the Blowfish Part 2, and they were just trying to stump me. So I'm like, yeah, Imagine Dragons, let's go. I knew it. And then.
Imagine dragging these nuts across your face?
Yep.
Wow. I also saw you chug alcohol.
PFC talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah.
It was part of a game. It's called Sink the Biz at Knicks. You pour a drink into a bucket, and if it sinks, you have to drink it.
Yeah, I know, but that's illegal.
I'm 21 years old.
Was that responsible?
Weren't you working?
It was Coors Light.
You were on the clock, right?
They offered me.
If you were a Duke player, you'd get behind the wheel of a car.
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
No penalties for them so far.
Oh, no way.
You weren't wearing any of our merch, though, right? We didn't want to.
Not part of my take.
Wait, was it during a Bench Mob podcast?
Live show.
I blame Rico, actually.
Yeah.
Rico should have known better.
Rico was
the elder. He was the one, really the capo of the team there. He's
capo di capo.
Capo di capo.
Well, technically, he's actually the youngest.
Who?
Based on seniority.
That's true. He just started a week ago.
Well, I didn't. It was at the very end of the show. I feel like it was okay. I was offered drinks beforehand, and I didn't take any.
I had text messages saying Jake is a fucked up mess right now. He's puking in the alley.
That was me,
Jake. So have you always been just an elite chugger? Because it seems like something that you probably have a lot of practice at.
I'm more of a beer pong guy.
Yeah.
Is it hot in here?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's do numbers.
69.
That was one of those ones where I was like, I don't know if I'm hot or
85.
Give me an 8.
46 and 23 are out. I'm going 97.
Third time.
Contrary to popular belief, goldfish actually do have memories.
Oh.
But it's just 6 seconds, right?
No, it's actually a little longer.
How long? 7?
You can train them to do tricks, and they'll actually remember how to do the tricks.
Really? So Larry knows when it's time for him to make his picks?
Exactly.
Could you train them to fucking kill themselves because they suck at gambling?
They do that themselves.
Okay.
Love you guys.
Yes, sir.
lightning and the thunder, 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 thunder.